That song was meant to lead us into what we're going to be doing next and make us think about God's grace, marvelous, infinite, matchless grace of God. It's because we have that grace that we start to do things like this. Because grace leads to grace. Grace always does that. I can tell the people who know about God's grace because they start living in a way that constantly gives grace to others. What a great idea to write to these kids. What a great idea to send stuff to these kids. I think that's God's grace in action. That's a great idea. So thank you very much. And when we know God's grace, we become exceptionally generous because he's been exceptionally generous to us beyond anything we could think, imagine, or even need. That's the way God treats us. And so when we read this passage in a few moments, I want you to think about that and God's grace to you this time of year. But first we're going to read from the Heidelberg Catechism. We'll do it responsibly. And this is the question that I start with. How are you righteous before God? Only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments, of never having kept any of them, and of still being inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, without any merit of my own, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned, nor been a sinner, and as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. All I need to do is accept this gift with a believing heart. Why do you say that through faith alone you are righteous? Not because I please God by the worthiness of my faith. It is because only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness makes me righteous before God. And because I can accept this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than through faith. Why can't our good works be our righteousness before God, or at least part of our righteousness? Because the righteousness which can pass God's judgment must be entirely perfect and must in every way measure up to the divine law. But even our best works in this life are imperfect and stained with sin. How can our good works be said to merit nothing when God promises to reward them in this life and the next? This reward is not earned. It is a gift of grace. But doesn't this teaching make people indifferent and wicked? No. It's impossible for those grafted into Christ through true faith not to produce fruits of gratitude. And that's what I was just telling you. It's impossible. If you know Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ has rescued you from sin and death, it's impossible not to be grateful. Because that's what he's done. Our gratitude flows from his grace to us. He gives this all through faith. Aren't you glad that you don't have to come here today and wonder whether or not you're right with God? Whether or not everything that you do is going to make you right with God? Because just think about this past week a little bit. Did you do anything that was sinful? I did. I'm sure you did too. Because we all do. I mean, maybe nobody else even knew about it. You might be the only one who knew about it, but God knew about it. And as soon as you and I sin, well, we're in a precarious position with God. We need to repent of that sin. We need to turn to Him. And we can be grateful that we're justified by faith and not by the things that we do. I'm grateful for that. And so I'm going to read a scripture that the Apostle Paul wrote. It's in the book of Romans. And in this whole section, in the beginning of the book of Romans, he's talking about that all people are sinful. And he gives every sort of illustration to prove that point. But it doesn't take much to prove that point, because all you have to do is look at yourself for a few seconds, and you know the sins that you've committed. But this is what the Word of God says that we're going to read and reflect on today. Verse 21 of chapter 3. But now righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is the boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law. No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Is God the God of the Jews only? Is He not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So we have a custom at Thanksgiving at our house. And when we get done with the meal, we go around the table and we talk about what we're thankful for. And almost all the time, we're thankful for things like brothers, sisters, family, friends. We're thankful for all the blessings that God gave us during that year, whether it's our work or anything else that He's given us. We're thankful for that. I remember one Thanksgiving where one of the kids was thankful because they got a new dog in the house. Well, you know, that's a reason to be thankful. Didn't really excite me, but, you know, it hasn't to this point. But anyway, they have a dog now, you know, and they're thankful for the dog. They love their dog. They're thankful for it. But then there's me. I'm the odd one out, you see, when it comes to all the things. I'm thankful for all those things that everybody else has been talking about, but then it's my turn to give thanks. And I say something like this: I'm thankful that I'm justified by faith. You know, sometimes even somebody at the Thanksgiving dinner might roll their eyes because, all right, Grandpa's preaching again, you know. He's telling us he's justified by faith, and he's thankful for that. But, you know, the more I think about it and the older I get, all the other things, I'm thankful for them. Don't get me wrong. I'm very thankful for them, and I give God thanks for them. But they wouldn't mean a thing if I wasn't justified by faith. Not a thing. My grandchildren, particularly my granddaughters, call me the silly grandpa. There's some reasons for that, but you might well imagine. But now and then I become the serious grandpa. And today I'm going to drop on you a grandpa dose of seriousness. Because I want you to be thankful for this. I want you to be overwhelmed with gratitude for what God has done for you in Jesus Christ. Because this is the plain truth. I have earned for myself hell. And God has freely given me heaven. I know what I've earned. I know what I deserve. And I'm not getting what I deserve. And for that I'm thankful. Because I'm justified by faith freely. It is a gift of God. And I'm thankful for that. Because if it were not for that, I would have no hope to face God. I couldn't face God. We sang about him. He's holy, right? We sang that song. It was a new song, but it's an old song because God is holy. It's always the same. God is holy. And who can go into the presence of a holy God? Not a sinner. Not someone who is rebelling against God. But only someone who has received his forgiveness through faith. And so I'm thankful I'm justified by faith and not the things that I'm doing. Not the things that I will ever do. None of those can make me right with God. Only believing in Jesus Christ can do that. Because we have this huge problem. I said that in these first chapters of Romans, that's about all that Paul talks about, is how sinful we are, how wicked we are, how we've changed, knowing the glory of God as we look at creation and not giving him honor and glory. We just sin. And everyone sins, Jew and Gentile alike. This is our problem. We are not righteous. We're not. And only righteous people can see God. Only righteous people can be in his presence. And by our nature, we are not righteous. Now, why did God give the law? Well, there's several reasons. But one of the primary reasons God gave the law is so that anyone who read the law would realize their desperate need for someone else, for Jesus Christ. Because if you read the law convicts you of sin. The law teaches you that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. And we find out from the law that we're not righteous at all. We haven't kept the law. Now, we're not alone in this. The history of Israel really teaches us what people are really like. You remember the story, of course, in Egypt, Israel was held captive. They were slaves to the Egyptians, and God delivered them by his mighty hand, right? You would think, at least this is the way my mind works, that when you get through the Red Sea, and you're on the other side there, and you've been delivered from Pharaoh and his hosts, you'd be so thankful, you'd be just praising God constantly. Well, they did. They, you know, they danced around the Red Sea because they were so excited. Miriam led them in praise. Just a few days later, what were they doing? They were grumbling. They were complaining. Oh, if only we were in Egypt. I mean, there we had food to eat. There we had all these good things. And now we don't have anything out here in the desert. We're going to starve to death. Did you bring us out here to kill us? Because that's the way people are. And God is gracious, right? He sends them quail more than they can eat. He sends them manna for every day. And it's like they kept forgetting God's grace, even as he poured more and more upon them. And they continued to sin. So they come to the mountain, Mount Sinai. And there God speaks to them, and they say, oh, don't let him talk to us again. He said to them audibly the Ten Commandments, and they didn't want to hear him speak again. So Moses, you go talk to him and come back. So Moses goes away for 40 days to talk to God. And what are they doing when Moses comes back? Oh, they made a calf, a golden calf. And they're bowing down to that, and they're praising that as their deliverer. Something they made. But God forgave them, even though many died because of what they did. We're all sinners. You see, in Israel is an example of sin. Then we get to the time of Judges, and there's this great big cycle in Judges, right? The people sin. The people then are oppressed by some neighboring country or something, and they're made to suffer, and the people cry out to God, and God sends a judge, and they get delivered. Oh, they don't learn their lesson, do they? Because that goes on and on and on through the book of Judges, and it says everybody did what was right in their own eyes. And their own eyes were sinful. And they did what was right in their own eyes. And then there was the time of the kings, the divided kingdom. There were basically no good kings on the Israel side. On the Judah side, you had an occasional good king. Sin. Sin is universal. And we are no better than those Israelites because we daily break God's law. We're not righteous. We cannot stand before God on our merits, on what we've done. And so Paul goes on to say, after he makes this point about the prophets and the law testifying all this, he goes on to say, you know, that we all fall short of the glory of God. Only one sin is enough to separate you from God, because he cannot abide any sin, because he's holy. He's holy and we are not. Our sins, there are many. His mercy is more. I love that song because it's so true. Our sins, there are many. His mercy is more. And we have many sins. I mean, I could talk about them, but I want to move on to the good part of this message too. I mean, we have things like pride, we have prejudice, we have lust, we have envy, we have greed, we have all these sins. And any one of them disqualifies us from God and his glory. Anyone. We have a problem, but God is a God of solutions. And he has given the solution to our problem that we cannot extricate ourselves from. He has the solution, and that's why at Thanksgiving I say things like, I'm thankful for justification by faith. Because we have righteousness. Don't miss this. We have righteousness from God through faith in Jesus Christ. We have real, eternal righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. The apostle put it this way, the righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. So if you believe in Jesus Christ, you are indeed righteous because it's a gift of faith. You are made right with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only person who has ever walked on this earth who perfectly obeyed God's law and obeyed God. No one else has done it. He alone is righteous. And if you have faith in him, I'm going to give you an old theological term here, he imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to you and to me through faith. Now, what does that mean? It means that it's ours. It means that through faith we are righteous. So when God sees you and God sees me, he no longer sees our sins. Rather, he sees the perfect righteousness, satisfaction of Jesus Christ. That's what faith is given, gives to us freely. Because Jesus Christ died the death that each and every one of us deserved to die. He took our death so that through faith in him, his righteousness is our righteousness. Can Jesus Christ enter before God who is holy? Absolutely. That's where he is now. He's in the presence of God Almighty, the holy God. And you and I have that privilege to go into that place because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that we have through faith in him. Faith in him. We are justified freely by God's grace. Verse 24, and are justified freely by his grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. This is the free gift of God. You can't do anything to get it. You can only believe in Jesus Christ and receive it. And when you learn that, it sets you free. It sets you free from the bondage of your sin. It sets you free from doubt that you could be saved. It sets you free to glorify God. It sets you free to go into the presence of God because you are now righteous because Jesus Christ has paid the just price for your sins and my sins. In order that we be declared righteous before holy God. It's grace. I love that catechism question and answer we read where it says, sheer grace. You probably don't remember the sermon, those of you who were with me 35 years ago, but I preached a sermon on that. And I got home from that sermon and my son David says to me, I got the point, Dad. I think you said sheer grace in that sermon 25, 30 times. Because I kept repeating that phrase, sheer grace. There is absolutely nothing that we have done. It is all of God in Jesus Christ. It's sheer grace. It's God's gift to us. Grace is this. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. Grace is getting what you do not deserve. You and I deserve punishment. But we will not get punishment because of God's grace. He gives us that grace. And it's free. Absolutely free grace. This sets me free every day of my life. Every day of my life. That I receive God's grace freely. That I have a righteousness that not my own, not by obeying the law. Because you see, this is what every other religion in the world does. How are you going to be right with God? Well, if you're going to be right with God, you're going to go through this mantra. You're going to pray five times a day. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. You're going to have all these things that you're going to do. And then maybe God will say, well, you know, now I accept everything you've done and you're okay with me. I don't know why people want to be in those miserable religions that have to try and try and try and try and please God because they cannot please God. Jesus Christ has pleased God. And you and I are righteous through what he has done on the cross. Don't ever forget that. We're righteous through faith. We earned hell, but we're given heaven. That's amazing. Start enjoying it now. Start knowing who you are. Start being thankful for what God has done. Maybe you are exceedingly thankful. I hope so. It overwhelms me when I think about it. And I become the serious grandpa. But not that serious. Because I have joy unspeakable because of what God has done through Jesus Christ. I have a joy that can never be put away. Because it's not what I have done, but it's what Jesus Christ has done and what he has freely given through faith in him. We are justified by faith apart from the law. That must have been an important thing for the Apostle Paul to say, because he said it several times. Apart from keeping the law. Well, he's not condemning the law. There's nothing wrong with the law. He makes that very clear. The law isn't the problem. The problem is us. The law is perfect. The law is good. The law is the way we should live as those who have been set free in Jesus Christ. It's the way we show our gratitude. But it doesn't earn us a thing. It's apart from the law. Apart from the law. No one can boast. I suppose you could say I'm boasting today. I am boasting. But I'm boasting about Jesus Christ. Not about Paul Hoekstra. Paul Hoekstra doesn't deserve a thing. Jesus Christ has earned everything for you and for me. I'll boast in him forever. My last breath, I hope, is a boast in Jesus Christ and what he has done. And I'm thankful for that. Now, I won't be with my family this Thanksgiving. I'll be with this family on Thanksgiving, but I won't be with my own kids. I hope that someone at the table says something to take my place about being thankful for what we have in Jesus Christ. I know my children know that. They've heard it enough. They know it. But there's this thing that I think is so wonderful. Isn't it great to just hear it again and again and again? I've said to people, you know, I'm getting older. I don't want to preach fluffy sermons anymore. I could do that easy enough. They might be a lot of fun. Because I want to see everyone that I'm talking to in heaven someday. Because that's really what's important. That's really what's important. Will you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Because he has done everything that we could not do. He has given us everything that we could not earn. And it's free. And boy, does that lead to generosity. That just sets you free. Because you're not bound by your things. You're not bound by your obedience. You're not bound by any of that. You're bound to the free gift of Jesus Christ that he gives us. And we're saved in him. So if you haven't put your faith in Jesus Christ, don't let another day go by. Because you should have that joy. You should have that peace. You should have that security to know that your sins are forgiven in Jesus Christ and that you are righteous through what he has done. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has rescued us from the darkness of this world and brought us into the kingdom of light, where his Son reigns in glory. And you and I, through faith, are righteous. Don't let anyone ever tell you otherwise. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, our hearts overflow with gratitude for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. For you have lifted us out of our sin and misery into your goodness and grace, and that through faith you have said we are righteous. And so, because of the work of God in Jesus Christ, we can see you, we can have eternity with you, and we can have joy and peace right now. May your name always be glorified, for we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.